folks. Let's go ahead and get our banquet started. Yes.
We're missing.
Okay, everyone. I would like to. Is everyone seated? Yes? What I would like to do is go ahead and I'm going to have us start with our invocation. And after we do our invocation, I will maybe think twice about giving the microphone over to Mitch. I haven't decided yet. No, notice we're having the prayer before I give the mic to Mitch, right? Okay, and I have to do our invocation. Our board member, and I also think a newly elected president of CCBS, Miss Lena Dawes, to do the invocation. If we can have a bit of silence out there for the invocation, I'm going to give the microphone over to Lena.
Hi, everyone. I'm a Baha'i, and in sometimes one thing that we do is we like to sing prayers, so that is what I'm going to do. O Lord my God, open thou the door, prepare the meat, make safe the path, for verily thou art the help in peril, the self-subsisting, Ya Baha'u'llah. Ya Baha'u'llah.
I guess we're not supposed to clap.
No.
But it was beautiful.
Very beautiful voice.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. Okay. Okay. And the mic is now not on. Okay, thank you very much. All right, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and, after our wonderful prayer, I'm going to turn the microphone over to our banquet MC, someone that I know pretty well, I think, and so do you, Mr. Mitch Pomerantz.
I'm trying to avoid getting the cord of this microphone caught up in somebody's wine, likely mine. There we go. It's actually nice to do a banquet sitting down. And I did something tonight, and I have to tell on myself, because if I didn't, Donna or some other partial here would. I did something tonight I haven't done since 1974.
Wow.
I had two pair of shoes side by side. I am wearing a black business shoe on the right foot and a wonderful white tennis shoe on the left. So this way, I have my choice of which foot to put in my mouth tonight. I want to welcome all of you to the approximately 158th banquet of the California Council of the Blind. We really do have a jam-packed agenda, and some folks, I think, we're going to be calling to speak, make presentations while we're still eating. Otherwise, truly, the bar here closes at 11, and they have one of my favorite ales there, and I'd like to get back for another. So let me begin by introducing the head table. And we'll begin to the far left, your far right. We have a gentleman who makes me envious because he's got a really cool classic car collection. And he can even fix them. Gentleman that I've known for many, many years, involved in Active Blind. You'll hear more from him in a few minutes. We serve together on Metro's Accessibility Advisory Committee, John Mavis. To John's right is his lady, and some of you know her from Department of Rehab days, Linda Keeney. To Linda's right is a gentleman who probably drove the San Francisco Muttstrut people nuts because he was the coordinator, and all coordinators have to be good nags. Frank Welty. Yay! To Frank's right, and I have to see The Godfather again so I get the pronunciation down, but obviously you're pronouncing your last name the Italiano way. Newly elected board member to the CCB Board of Directors, Vita Zavalli. Yeah. Switching sides of the table or ends of the table, still immediate past CCB president, but more importantly, at least for me, because now I have to listen to him, whereas previously he at least sort of had to listen to me. First Vice President of the American Council of the Blind, Jeff Tom. To Jeff's left is a lady who many of us in Southern California, particularly in the LA area, know and respect and consider a friend, Shirley Tucker. And to Shirley's left, also representing Active Blind, and despite the fact that he went to that university across town from where I went, he's still a good guy. He has a law degree from that school, but he got smart and stopped practicing before it really had a negative impact on him. Frank Tucker. And I got to say, by the way, before we make our last introduction, this may not matter to folks in San Diego because the Pac-12 doesn't play down here. Well, we got three Pac-12 reps at this table. We have Jeff, who went to Stanford, the home of the Redwoods. We have Frank Tucker, who, of course, did go to UCLA. And yours truly, who is a proud Trojan. And that's the University of Southern Comfort to my detractors. But to my immediate right is the woman that set me on a different path 12 years ago. The love of my life and my world, and the president, at least for a few more months, of CCB, Donna Pomerantz. We do have a lot to do, and while I'm not a joke teller, I am a storyteller. And I told a couple of folks last night I'm going to tell two stories tonight. And I think the first one I'll tell, and these are all true stories, by the way. Most of us here are Californians, and we have lived through our share of earthquakes. You will recall that 2 years ago, Washington, D.C. had an earthquake. Well, our executive director, Melanie Brunson, is used to earthquakes. Melanie's from Orange County. But our then director of development, one Steve Obremski, was not. And I am told reliably that when that little 5.0 shaker that most of us would hardly notice hit, Steve and his dog were rapidly on their feet and out the door of the office and down the stairs and out the door of the building. Steve apparently at least knew better than to get into the elevator. But what made this doubly strange is that Steve went home to his apartment in a brick building. So, you know, Steve had some splaining to do to Melanie and to me. I said, "You went home to a brick building, Steve. You know about bricks? They fall." Anyway, talking about ACB, let me welcome those of you who are brave enough or insomniac enough to be listening to this banquet on ACB radio, wherever in the world you may be. Those of you who are insomniacs, George Norrie or whoever is on the weekends doing that weird show won't be on for another hour and a half. So we'll try to keep you entertained until then. I will take a few minutes break to let everybody eat their salads in peace. But we really do have a lot to do tonight, so we probably will, there won't be as much silence as you're used to. So enjoy your rabbit food. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do three door prizes right now. And we're going to put John Mavis to work down to my left. Going to have John draw a name. The first one is one of those bags of fudge, which everybody seems to like.
The name drawn is Gigi D. Marie.
Oh, my God.
Gigi D. Marie, are you here? Raise your hand, Gigi, or stand up, please. Do you see her, Ed?
No.
Is she here? She's not here. She just woke up. She overslept, did she? You snooze, you know what. Is she here?
Yeah.
Oh, she is here. All right. All right. All right. Let us now do... Actually, I fibbed. We're going to do four door prizes. We're going to give away right now $25 from San Gabriel Valley Chapter CCB. John, draw that one, please, again. And then we'll put Frank to work. You can. You can do that.
Yeah, Frank wants to draw his own name. I like that.
Winner's Jane Brunson, and she is here.
Well, we've just given an extra scholarship to a winner. Jane Brunson, you've won it. And if there's anybody here from the Department of Rehab, that's not an extra benefit. Another $25 from San Gabriel Valley. Let Mr. Tucker do the honors.
Oh,
you said there was. You said
you
there
just
was.
Gave it away.
Oh, that was the last one.
Yes, we have two from Bayview. We got.
Oh, okay, 25.
Yes, and 150 from Greater LA. 125
yeah.
From Greater LA. 25 from CCC.
All right, we got a lot. We're gonna do yeah. Let's do the 25 from CCCLV, the Roman numeral chapter.
Is John drawing this also?
No, Frank.
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 Right here. Frank Tucker. My
right.
Yep. Two Franks up
there. The other Frank.
This is Frank.
The SoCal Frank. Oh. Mr. Calderon, I'll see you in the bar. You won $25. Let's do the 50 and then we'll quit. Oh, no, she just said the 50 is at the end of the banquet. We'll do one more 20. Oh, we've got a...
Bayview, we got two from Bayview at 25 each.
All right, Bayview.
Let's do some Bayview.
We've got one from the Bayview chapter. Let's have the other Frank, Welty, draw that. Yeah, 25 from Bayview. Just hand that to the left, Frank. Linda Keeney, you've got the 25. And we got one more from CCLVI or Bayview or something.
We have another from Bayview. We have Greater LA 25.
Oh, okay. We'll do that one. We'll do the Greater LA 25. And one more. Then dinner's coming. Greater LA, $25. Frank Welty can draw that one. All right, there you go.
Hot plate. Thank you. Careful.
There. George Rivas. He's not here. Okay. A sister-in-law, that one's yours, 25, Debbie Cordetto. Huh?
That's it for now?
Yes, that's it for now. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, come on, kiddies. As I said, those of you who come to ACB conventions at least the last 6 years know that my train always runs on time. Thank you. That's very nice elevator music. We have had a wonderful working relationship with an organization in Los Angeles called Active Blind. It goes back to the days of Anthony Tony Menino. And with all due respect to Vita and others here of Italian heritage, Tony was the godfather. He was the original godfather of CCB. And his sister, Mary Catalano, and her son. There is only one convention at a time, folks. And Mary's son, John Catalano, who I've known probably since I got involved with this organization in 1972. We're going to hear from the two representatives from Active Blind, and the first person, if the microphone can get down to him, where might that be? Do you have the mic, John? Ah, good.
Can you turn this, the wired one, on over here in the corner?
It's on. So
thank you.
To make a couple of opening comments, John Mavis. John?
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here and to be able to come to you after belonging to this organization for 58 years. I belong to the L.A. County Club with James B. Garfield, who got Tony Menino involved. I've known Tony very well. Went to a lot of conventions and was always in the background. You never see me much when you're at the back door. But anyway, Tony started out in college in Chicago, graduated in 1940. He moved to Buffalo, New York, served, 13 years there in charge of the shipping department for a company making the hardware and so forth for in front of your fireplace, the screens and shovels and so forth. He saved his money and he invested it in the stock market. He'd buy 1,000 shares at 10 cents a share, and when it get to a dollar, he would dump it on the market and buy another 1,000 shares at 10 cents a share. Over the years, he did this, and I listened to him, and I've done the same thing. I started out with $7,000, and I've got like $500,000 I've saved up, enough to get myself into business after all these years. So anytime you are in Alhambra, California, and want to see a bunch of old junky cars that's been polished up a little bit, come by my shop, and be glad to show them to you. Now back to Tony Menino and his scholarship. And we're going to have Frank Tucker tell you all about what that money did that he raised for all the young folks. So all you delegates, listen close and make sure that your delegates get the message back to your team members and get the scholarships and get their diplomas so they can do something better than polishing automobiles. Here's Franklin Tucker.
Yeah. have you. Come close. Is that it? Oh. Okay. Thank you, John. I would like to comment on Mitch's error in dress. Here is a man who is truly integrated with his feet on the ground, with his feet on the ground, and may we all be able to follow in his footsteps. I'm going to use a little duet with my wife tonight. Don't worry about it. It's not risque. I'm doing this because there are two essential things in achieving your goals. One of them, we try to help with. The other one, our help does is try to inspire, but it's not really much we can do about the first one. But without the first, the second doesn't mean very much, and you can't do much, and you won't do much. The first one is perseverance. That comes from within you. That is something you have to bring to the table. That is something someone cannot sell you, and you cannot buy it.
That's right.
You must have it on your own, or you must be inspired to seek it, to find it, and to make it part of everything that you are. Mm-hmm. For perseverance, without the second part, is very difficult to succeed, and that is education. Now, there is two kinds of education. There is formal education, and there's education of life. If you have enough perseverance, and really you have to have it, you can do it without formal education, as has been proven by Mr. Mavis himself. But the easier route, if you have the inspiration and the perseverance, is to go for the formal education route, which will give you the tools to use your perseverance. To that end, I'm going to have my wife read to you some letters. We won't give you the last names, we'll just give you the first names, of persons who have received letters of award from the Active Blind Group. Now, John and the Active Blind is dedicated to providing assistance for education. But it's only you can seek, not only if you want to seek that education, you have to make an application. And fortunately for us, for the Active Blind Group, we have California Council for the Blind to assist us in finding those persons who want to qualify for assistance in their educational pursuits. Shirley will read you one letter, and I will comment shortly after each one. Shirley?
Okay. This is a letter from Douglas. His message is, I'm returning to school to continue my education and better my family life. I have been attending Full Sail University in pursuit of my Bachelor's of Science degree in game design. Currently, I hold a 3.0 GPA, and I look forward to achieving new goals during my school career. Being a survivor of a severe allergic reaction to penicillin called Stephen Johnson syndrome, which left me legally blind in the right eye and completely blind in the left eye. Lots of people said I will not be able to do a lot of things due to my condition. So far, I have proved them wrong. It may take me a while longer with some help and support to do them, but I get them done, and with your help, I can continue to do so. While attending school, I work on a video game I'm involved in. What I have learned so far has helped me and my progress in the game's development and its movement towards completion. Along with my school, I am a father, and I want to show my children to continue their education and follow their cause. If their father can do it at 40 plus years of age, they can do it too. My interests in life are family,
yes, please,
friends, sports, and community. I currently maintain a PTC website for our local K to 8th grade school. We have children enrolled in. We also attend and support our local church and high school events for our children. And that was from Douglas.
When I get my fingers out of my dessert, I'll talk. I didn't know they'd put it there. You will notice about this particular letter, this particular person, that not only are they interested in achieving an economic goal, but they're also interested in retaining and maintaining their activity within their community. This not only helps him, but helps the general attitude toward blindness, and that blindness is not an end of its in itself, but only a stumbling block maybe along the way. The next letter will emphasize this in a different manner, and I enjoy the attitude of the person who made this submission, Shirley.
All right, this is from Jane. Education has always been one of the top priorities in my family. Our parents always emphasized to us the importance of being kind and helpful to others, and that our education should be used to achieve that end. Throughout high school, I have searched for the best way to use my own gifts and talents to give back to the world. One way I have discovered is through writing. Ever since I learned to read, I have loved literature and stories. And when I was still very young, began to make up stories and poems of my own. I plan to major in English in college to hone my writing skills so that one day I can write something that will circulate a positive message about life and humanity to its readers for a long time to come. I also participated in mock trial all 4 years of high school, where I discovered my talent for identifying the most important facts of a case, connecting them with the law, and piecing together a convincing argument. I am planning on going to law school after receiving my bachelor's, and I am considering being a disability advocate so that parents of disabled children and disabled adults are able to have the accommodations that he or she needs. That's the end.
I think you understand a little bit of what from those two letters what I'm talking about. And also there's something else here. These two persons have discovered their talents. They have discovered something about themselves which is unique and which is so strong, they're willing to sacrifice and to put all of their effort into achieving it. The next two letters that will be read have the same goal, but they reach it in a slightly different way.
Surely. No, want to read two of them together?
Yeah.
Okay.
Three and five.
All right, this is Brittany. Starting in the fall of 2013, I am going to major in psychology to earn my bachelor's degree. Following this, I want to receive my master's degree in social work and eventually be able to work as a rehabilitation worker for the blind or a school counselor. The reason I want to pursue social work is to help the community by sharing my experiences and showing them how they can persevere even after traumatic situations. I have had a near-to-death experience that I am comfortable sharing with others. I was born with good sight, but on May 4th, 2012, I was shot in my right cheek and the bullet came out of my left eyeball, shattering it. The bullet also hit my right eye's nerve, making me go instantly blind. Somehow, I have still managed to be all about school and not taking my blindness as a negative impact in my life. In a way, I like being blind because it helps me to make wiser decisions. Being blind changed my whole perspective on life in a good way. In addition to my long-term educational and career goals this summer, I will learn more details of JAWS and become more proficient in Braille reading and writing by attending a program at the Junior Blind of America in Los Angeles. With these tools and my college education, I will be able to provide for myself as an adult. And that was from Brittany. And the last letter is from Mia. I am 22 years old and a sophomore in college. The purpose of me attending college is to obtain my master's degree in social science and eventually become a rehabilitation counselor for the blind. It has been my dream to become a rehab counselor so that I can help blind individuals live a successful lifestyle. I believe that helping those in need illustrates who we are as a person. As a blind individual myself, I fully understand the daily obstacles visually impaired people face. Therefore, if I become a rehab counselor, I can easily relate to my clients and assist them in any way possible. While I am attending school, I have been actively seeking a part-time job in order to gain work experience and to support myself through college. However, it has been difficult in finding a job that would fit my needs and abilities. Even though tackling college work is extremely stressful and finding a job hasn't been successful, I'm determined to persevere until my goals are accomplished. I want to thank the California Council of the Blind for giving me the opportunity to apply for this scholarship and for taking the time to read my application.
Now, I want to comment on Brittany first. I want to comment on Brittany first because this brings up another aspect of life. Here is a young lady with incredible courage, which is rarely found, particularly in one who has suffered a traumatic change of life in such a very short period of time. I would like to know the person or the system or whatever the process was that made her view her condition in such a way and to have the courage and the perseverance to pursue a goal after something as traumatic as being shot and losing her vision. This, to me, is an incredible asset and a demonstration of courage which we all need and we all hoped we could have. The second one is different but almost as dramatic, in that the person has enough insight to see that they can use their experiences as a blind person to assist others and not dwell on the fact of what blindness has done to them. I think if you listen to these two letters together, it brings a tremendous impact into how you think and feel about blindness. It also demonstrates what an attitude, a positive attitude, can be gained from such traumatic occurrences in one's life. To that end, we at Active Blind, I say we, as John Catalano is president, we just enjoy providing the assistance to those who want to and will persevere to get an education that will provide them with a kind of lifestyle and will provide the blind with a model that everyone else would hope to follow. So please get in touch with Jeff, with Donna, or with John directly, and talk about what you need and how you can present yourself for a scholarship. We thank you for allowing us to be here, and we appreciate your hospitality. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank and Shirley Tucker and John Mavis and Linda. You know, Frank, talking about my integrated shoes, I have to tell a UCLA story, actually.
Uh-oh. Watch out.
And it's a good story. In 1972, after I'd been turned down from law school, I did a master's thesis on law school entrance policies, and in those days, the handicapped, as we were then called. And I interviewed deans of admissions at 8 California law schools. And the dean of admissions at UCLA at that time was a fellow that some of us have heard of, one Fred Slaughter, who was the center on UCLA's first national championship basketball team. And Fred and I talked about the civil rights movement from obviously from his perspective. I was totally unconcerned and disinterested in disability issues. Totally. And during my conversation with Dean Slaughter, I had an epiphany. And it occurred to me that our civil rights, our fight for equality paralleled, although certainly did not duplicate, the struggle for equality for African Americans. And I owe at least my first step down the road of being a disability rights and blindness rights advocate to one Fred Slaughter, the Dean of Admissions at UCLA, Frank. Pardon me?
Oh, he was there at the time.
Yeah, I thought maybe you'd you might know him. Neat man. While we're talking about scholarships, we're going to have the chair of the CCB Scholarship Committee come up and pardon me? He's going to read from his table. Okay. I have a human teleprompter to my right.
Well, you didn't listen to me the first time.
Well, I did listen, but I thought he might be coming up anyway. So, to conclude this portion of the banquet discussing our scholarship winners, Robert Wendt.
Hey, Robert.
Thank you, Ed. Okay, we have two more applicants we would like to share with you. This first statement is from Janet Barajas.
Let's have attention, please, because he's a little muffled with that mic, so we've got to listen carefully. Go ahead, Robert.
Sorry, folks. Okay. Many people view my disability as a burden. And while it is tough to literally see your vision fade away day by day, it is my motivation to work as hard and fast as I can to beat my vision to the finish line. Throughout my experience, I have always had a strong support group of counselors, nurses, and community leaders, friends, and family to keep me focused and motivated. Their support has been crucial to my success and has driven me to pursue becoming an LCSW so I too can be part of somebody's support system. My parents' perseverance allowed me to see the world and people in it full of possibilities and potential. With a Master's of Social Work, I hope to work with underserved youth and present higher education not as an alternative, but as a right, despite the race, ability, socioeconomic status, gender, sex, or any other label. The area of research I hope to expand on as a graduate student is youth identity. The pink elephant in the back of the room of my mind has also been my motivator to persevere, be resourceful, and remain focused on my goal to becoming an LCSW. Okay, our second applicant here. This applicant is Andre Green. A persistent vision I first had 6 years ago has been to show society that I and other visually impaired people have a voice in my vision. I see myself as a beacon to others in our social and educational communities, demonstrating that people impaired with challenges can succeed through higher education and gainful employment. I lost my vision 23 years ago as a result of a drive-by shooting in 1989. During years of recovery, I was surrounded by love from children, family, friends, and coworkers. They assisted me to gain my independence again and encouraged me to seek higher education. In 2004, I was accepted at Los Angeles City College, LACC, and graduated with an Associate's of Arts degree in and Departmental Certificate in Human Services in 2008. Determined to go further, I was accepted at Cal State Dominguez Hills. My vision is to make a social impact by creating possibilities of increased social inclusion of visually impaired citizens and by enrolling the surrounding communities to use our talents and abilities. With the technology being made available to the visually impaired and to other physically disabled, more opportunities can be opened throughout the world. I believe we need some fresh minds. Some disabled students have some of these talents who have the desire to work hard to build up the blind community together with society as a whole, to be part of a larger social norm. Will you join us? I appreciate this opportunity in advance. We had a lot of fun interviewing these candidates. We changed our system this year, and it was very exciting to see it come to life and to give us a more positive and more positive and quantitative method for figuring out who our scholarship winners are going to be.
Okay, thank you, Robert. And what we're now going to do is we're going to hear from our two winners who are here, three winners who are here. Didn't see the third person over there. So I believe the first one, and I met her and her parents briefly earlier, and I said I used to have a coworker with that last name. So we're now going to bring in up for a couple of minutes, Janet Barajas.
Hi, my name is Janet Barajas. You just read my little statement of purpose. First, I want to thank the board thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. Like one of the members said earlier, it's perseverance that really like is the main factor that makes us want to pursue higher education and want to make a difference in this world. And that perseverance led me to all of you. I want to thank the committee. Ed and Chrissy were amazing in our interview. I want to be at LCSW, so talking to them, seeing that they're already leaders in those fields made me feel so grateful and hopeful for the future in my career. So thank you.
All right. Our next winner, who is here, and Ed is Ed Branch, the man on the silver roller skates, is introducing our winners to the gentleman from Active Blind. So our next recipient, who you will hear from, is Andre Green. Andre?
Good evening, family. My name is Andre Green. I'm thankful for each and every one of you for coming out and it's, to help me celebrate my scholarship. Thank you so much. I want to thank the committee, scholarship committee, Robert and Vincent. It's a great conversation over the telephone. I really enjoyed our meeting. I need to let you know, blessed are the brief, because I am, like, nervous.
I like it.
Thank you. And he's still making me nervous standing right by me. I'm truly grateful. We can't stop, people. We have to keep pressing towards the mark of our high calling, and that's what I do every day. You know, I look at myself as not handicapped. I'm handicapable. So I thank you again for allowing me the scholarship. Thank you.
This is Mr. Franklin Tucker. This is Mr. Franklin Tucker. He's from Active Blind. Provided the funds.
All right. Our third recipient who is here,
John Mavis, he's also with Active Blind.
If she ever wants an internship with ACB, she may have a leg up, because her last name is the same last name as ACB's executive director. Now, I didn't say we could pay you anything, but Washington, D.C. is so beautiful in July and August. And if you believe that, I have some swamp land in Palmdale to sell you. So we will hear from our third recipient, Jane Brunson.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jane Brunson. This is my first year at UCLA, and I'm studying English. And I'm really glad to be here. And I'd like to thank the board of the California Council for the Blind and the awesome scholarship committee. Thank you so much for the support. And you guys are really helping me reach my goals and make a positive impact on the world. So, and I'll consider the internship offer. Thank you.
I want to introduce you. This is Mr. Franklin Tucker. He's Active Blind.
The offer still stands, Jane, even if you did go to that school. It's okay. And I want to give, you know, when you have the mic, you have power. I want to make a quick personal message to the three of you. I got involved with CCB when I was 22. And I know today, you know, the generations have changed. And maybe folks aren't as politically or socially active as they were when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s. But ladies and gentlemen, the gains that blind and visually impaired people have fought
struggled to earn over the last 50, 60 years are easily lost. And we need each and every one of you three people, young people, scholarship winners, to pitch in and assist our movement not only to maintain what we have, but to expand what we have. And I understand when I was 22, I was out of grad school looking for work, had a new family with three kids that I inherited. It wasn't easy, but I still got involved in the organized blind movement. We need you, and I urge you to seek out chapters in your area and to become part of the California Council of the Blind. All right. We're going to change things up a tad here. And I understand that there are a couple of prizes that we're going to put up for auction. And one of them I am definitely bidding on, which is going to be, I think for that prize, I'm going to have Jeff conduct the auction so I can be,
You might as well, I'm not bidding on it.
I'm sure you're not. Ed, do you want to come up and talk about the prizes or the two items up for auction? I was just thinking about how to do this logistically. I mean, at the ACB convention, we have bidder numbers and we raise our hands and all of that. Well, we've just got Ed.
Shout it out.
Poor Ed. So what I am going to suggest is that when you make your bid, you stand up and raise your hand, both. If you are not able to stand, then like raise both hands. Make sure Ed sees you, and I won't acknowledge another bid until Ed says he's got it. So tell us what is up for auction tonight, Mr. Branch. Oh, that's first? Then give Jeff the mic.
Yeah. I've got the mic.
Oh, good.
You're reading.
You are. You're going to read what the items are.
Okay. We have a donation of ticket vouchers, four ticket vouchers redeemable for tickets to a 2014 regular season home game. Restrictions will apply and are detailed in the voucher. Each ticket voucher is redeemable for one free preferred reserve level ticket or $10 off a reserve MVP or infield reserve ticket. Vouchers are only valid for Sunday through Thursday games in April and May, and one and two star games only, and exclude opening day. Any bobblehead or stadium giveaway. Vouchers are subject to ticket availability and are not valid for games after May 29, 2014. Ticket vouchers cannot be replaced if lost or stolen or go unused before the expiration date. Estimated fair market value, $64.
What team?
Dodgers. Los Angeles Dodgers.
The only real team in Los Angeles. All right, Jeff, take it away.
Okay. Who would love a nice Sunday afternoon at a Dodger game with a Dodger dog and a libation of your choosing and the wave and whatever else you like? $50. I'll take an opening bid of $50.
I have a bidder.
I want an opening bid of $50. Let's hear it.
$50.
Okay, Mitch is the first bidder.
We got a bid of 50. Do I hear 55? Do I hear 55? 50? Do I hear 55? 50? Do I hear 55? Oh, don't let him have it. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute here, folks. This is not a total value of $64. This is $64 a piece. So we're talking, these are expensive. This is our VIP tickets, obviously. So we're talking a value of 4 times 64. I didn't do that higher math stuff, but somebody will know.
256.
Yes, I know. Okay, so let's start at a value of a $100 bid. We're talking good stuff.
$100.
All right, the $100, do I hear 110? $100, do I hear 110? $100, do I hear 110? You can take three of your friends.
110.
110, do I hear 125? 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 You can... 100 and a quarter to hit 150. 100 and a quarter to hit 150. Man, this is half of the price, guys. This is great. 100 and a quarter to hit 150. 100 and a quarter to hit 150. 100 and a quarter to hit 150. 100 and a quarter.
We have a bidder.
140.
140. Do I hear 150? 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 140. 140 going once. 150, do I hear 175? 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 Four Dodger dogs, four lovely seats, and four beers. 450, do I hear 175? 150, do I hear 175? 150 going once. 150 going
once. We have a bidder.
160.
160.
160 to 175.
No, I'd say
we haven't even. We're just barely to half the value. 160.
That was Vince Calderon.
Do I hear 175? 160. Do I hear 175? 160 going once. 175. Do I hear 200? 175. Do I hear 200? 175. Do I hear two even? You know, you'll probably get it for 200. You'll probably get it. Give it a shot.
We have a bidder.
190.
190. 190. Do I hear 200? 190. Do I hear 200? 190. Do I hear 200? It's still a deal, and we got the 200. He'll be lording it over you for the rest of the year if you let him have this. 200. Do I hear 2 1/4? 200. Do I hear 2 1/4? 200, do I hear 2 1/4? 200 going once.
We have a bidder.
Hey.
225.
Hey, there you go, Charles. 225.
Vince Calderon.
250.
225.
Oh, it's Vince. Way to go, Vince. 225, do I hear 250? He must be embezzling from paratransit or whatever it is. 225, do I hear 250? 225, do I hear 250? 230, 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 do I hear 250? 230 going once. 230 going twice. Sold to Mitch Pomerantz for $230. Thank you.
The winner was me. Yay.
This is a year supply of bagels from Panera Bread Company.
Ooh. Oh, mic person. There we go. I didn't hear that comment back there.
Oh,
yeah, Donna and I and Vince and Maria, yeah. That's the good news. Yeah, Donna just beat me to it. That's the good news, Vince. The bad news is you buy all the beer. All right. Now, the last item is one that I would bid on, but I'm not. But it is a year's supply of bagels from Panera Bread. Now, for those who don't know, Panera Bread does the best jalapeno cheese bagels in the world. Whenever we go out there, that's what we have, or what I have. So, what's the face value on that, Ed? Do we know?
It only says, present the certificate each month for a free bagel pack. 13 bagels, 2 tubs of spread, valid for 12 months, expires December 2014. They have no dollar amount on it.
Well, when we get bagels from Panera Bread, and we can't usually get a dozen because they get the jalapeno ones get sold out real fast. That's usually like $10 for half a dozen or so, I think. So, I would guess the face value of this is somewhere between 125 and 125. Let's start the bidding at $50. $50 for Ms. Ornelas. 50, do we hear 55? Do we hear 55? 55 for Ms. Zavali. 55, do we hear 60? 60. Do we hear 60? Do we hear 65? Did we hear 60?
We have 65 over here from?
65 from who?
65. Araceli. Araceli.
I didn't catch who the 65.
It's Janet Barajas's.
Oh, all right. Mother. Ms. Barajas. You got to try those jalapeno cheese bagels. 65, do we hear 70? Go ahead.
Lena.
75,
Lena,
I think that
from
was.
Lena Dawes.
I heard 75 from Kathy, I think.
Lena Dawes.
Lena, sorry. 75, do we hear 80?
Peter Pardini, $80.
Mr. Pardini, 80, do we hear 85? 85. We have 80, 85 from Ms. Zavoli. 85, going on 90, going on 90.
Daryl Dawes, 95.
John Ross, 95. Let's hit the 100 mark. Do we hear 100? 95 is bid. Let's go to 100. Do we hear 100?
Peter Pardini, 100.
100 from Pardini. 100, do we have 105? We've got 100 bid. 105 is Zavoli. 105, we have 110. 105, we have 110. 105, we have 110. 105 going once.
Daryl Dawes. Daryl Dawes.
110 for Ross.
110. 110 from Daryl Dawes.
Oh, Daryl Dawes. 110?
Yes.
110, Daryl Dawes. 110. We have 110 bid. Do we have 115? 110 bid. Do we have 115? 110 going once. 110 going twice. Sold to the Dawes family. Ladies and gentlemen, since we're talking about money, we have a couple of donations from chapters. Ed is going to read one of them. I am especially proud of, I think, the one he's going to read for reasons which will become apparent shortly. And then we're going to hear briefly from Mike. Briefly from Keith Lee. It rhymes.
Yeah.
But Ed?
Right. Okay. Bayview chapter contributed $250 to the CCB General Fund.
And the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind is contributing $200 to the scholarship fund.
I have a hand in the back of the room, Mitch. There may be more money
yes,
on the way.
Yes, I think. Well, there better be because we voted on it.
I'm coming, Dave.
Is that Vince
Dave.
Or Robin?
Okay.
Yeah. Mitch?
Yes.
This is David Hanlon from Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California. We are going to donate $200 towards the student that would like to go to Washington, D.C. for the legislative conference.
All right.
And then also we want to dedicate $100 towards the general fund.
I have one more, Mitch. I have one more.
Is Pam Pology here?
I have one more here.
All right.
Bayview chapter donates $200 to the general fund.
So we already got that.
We already gave $250. You did, yes.
Is that another one?
One more. Pam? Oh, well.
One more. Okay. Hold on.
Well, I recognize Pam. So.
This is from the East L.A. CCB chapter. It's $500 to the general fund.
This is Pam Polke, president of the San Gabriel Valley chapter. And before I give you our donation, I just wanted to say how grateful I am to sit at the San Diego table. They've been so kind in embracing me. And the San Gabriel Valley chapter, not to be outdone by my other East LA chapter, is donating $500 to the CCB General Fund. Thank you.
I don't have that many fingers and toes, Ed. Do we have a quick tally?
General fund was, looks like $950, and scholarship is $200, plus the travel funds from RSVC for the student, another $200.
No, actually, it was more because East LA and San Gabriel gave $500 each to General. Yeah. Hey, we have the treasurer back there jumping up and down.
Doing a dance.
Thank you all so much.
Oh, I want you.
God. Pushy.
Shoot.
I want to thank you on behalf of CCB and. This lady to my right also wants to say something, so...
And I won't.
Here we go.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? You're right.
Oh, I just want to thank everybody so much for all your gifts that you've shared with us today, both in auction and in the donations that have come from all of your chapters. Thank you so much for sharing your gifts with us. I know you're having your struggles too, but you know what? We're all in it together. Thank you.
Absolutely.
There we go. All right, the total, Ed took off his shoes, or Peter did, somebody. For the general fund, a total of $1,350, and for the scholarship fund, $200.
Yay! $1,350. That's pretty good.
What would a CCB banquet be without a CCB banquet speaker?
Better.
what it would be a shorter banquet. So, let me now bring on to speak to you on whatever he has chosen to speak on. The first vice president of the American Council of the Blind and our national representative, Mr. Jeff Tom.
Thank you. Before you try to settle down, I want to, you know, I'm going to be going up to the Washington Council of the Blind convention in a couple of weeks to represent ACB. And they're always really enthusiastic and really loud. So just in case there are people out there in ACB radio land from Washington, let's do a CCB cheer. So, give me a C.
C.
Give me a C.
C.
Give me a B.
B.
What's that spell?
C-C-B.
What's that spell?
C-C-B.
And one more time.
C-C-B.
All right. Excellent job. Okay. It is really an honor to be up here on the stage with
all these folks, and most especially two presidents, our current CCB president and our former ACB and CCB president. There's nobody who cares more deeply, as you could tell today, cares more deeply about and sweats more blood for CCB than Donna Pomerantz. We will be blessed if our future leaders have anything close to the level of caring and passion and commitment that Donna has shown throughout her entire presidency, and we're lucky we'll have her for at least a few more months in that position. As for Mitch, he is nothing more than a prime example of all those traits that an outstanding leader needs. I've learned so much from him over the past 35 or so years that we've known each other, and it has been my honor to observe him all these many years. I did actually learn something from him tonight. I learned that USC is still in the Pac-12.
At least you beat the Bruins today.
I'm not your typical guest. You know me too well, and you've heard me too many times over the last decade. And besides, I know you want to play trivia. So, So, I want to get to this address as quickly as I can. But before I do that, before I get there, I want to just explore, before I get to the question of that I want to discuss tonight, I just want to tell you that this address is going to be something that looks at why the American Council of the Blind. I think, though, before we get to the why of this organization, I want to tell you that there are times I wonder why this organization as well. I hope that some of these reflections will be new to you, and some will probably be more obvious. But there's one thing which I think most of you can relate to. How many country western aficionados do we have out here? So, of course, you can tell me the iconic song of that legendary figure, Patsy Cline. Crazy, crazy. The big lines of that song are crazy for trying, crazy for crying, and crazy for loving you. Yes, all of these apply to ACB at times. It can indeed be frustrating to be an ACB member. Like most nonprofits, we never have enough money for what we really want to do. This is true of both ACB and CCB. In fact, notwithstanding our physical issues at times, we have a better physical situation than many, many affiliates in our organization. Some people love fundraising. I can remember the late Rhonda King as an example of someone who just was an incredible fundraiser and seemed to love every moment she was doing it. And others of us, well, it isn't our favorite thing to do, but we do it because we love this organization. Then there's the fact that there's just so much work to be done and never enough hours to do it, let alone enough people to get it done. And it's like, oh my gosh, how can I possibly do all that I need to do and still have a life? Then, of course, there's the bickering. You know, the political infighting, the arguing, the internal struggles at times. We could do so much more, it seems like, if we could get past that. So, in that light, you ask, since I'd rather be watching football sometimes, why ACB? And by extension, CCB? The first reason, and the most obvious one, I think, to all of you, is our core mission, advocacy on behalf of persons who are blind or who have low vision. Employment, equality of opportunity, pedestrian safety, guide dog issues, library services, special education, health care, programs for seniors with vision loss, access to information and to the environment, and I and you could come up with many more. But there is a deeper question that is presented when we talk about why we need ACB to do this advocacy work. Why can't other organizations do it? Why do we need to be taking up the cudgel all the time? To get to that, I want to talk about two very prominent organizations as examples of why I think ACB has to be in the forefront. I want to talk about the National Federation of the Blind, and I want to talk about the American Foundation for the Blind. And I want to start with a caveat when I talk about NFB. I'm not here to do any NFB bashing. We all know that NFB does many, many good things in our own state and local levels. We frequently cooperate and agree with what they have done. So none of what I am about to say is in any way in meaning that NFB is an organization that doesn't do fine advocacy work. However, we have differing priorities. Sometimes we disagree on what we find most important, and sometimes we even outright do disagree. Take, for example, an area that we have a much higher priority on, and that of audio description. It certainly has been an important issue for ACB, as witnessed by all the work that we do, whether it is for passage of federal legislation, as we successfully did with the 21st Century Communications and Video Accessibility Act, CVAA, as well as we are currently doing with respect to the implementing regulations, or at the local level, as, for example, my own chapter has done, led by Margie Donovan and Gene Lozano, to get a theater to establish an audio description program for its plays in our city. However, there is also another point, and that is NFB's gradual morphing into a huge service provider organization. When an organization becomes such a large provider of services that it relies primarily on those services to maintain its physical health, the bias of that organization is bound to change in ways that are often positive and sometimes negative. But one of the ways is that it is difficult to be driven to the same degree by the demand of consumers when you are so reliant upon your revenue streams. And it is my view that over time, and as visionary leaders like Fred Schroeder begin to pass the baton, it will be more difficult, at least, for NFB to remain as consumer-driven as it has always been. To further illustrate this point, let me turn to the other organization I want to discuss this evening, the American Foundation for the Blind. AFB is an entity that I know extremely well and I'm extremely proud of, as evidenced by the fact that I've served on its board of trustees for 6 years. Most of AFB's legislative victories, in fact, have been through working hand in hand with the American Council of the Blind. It is not a coincidence, in my view, that AFB's outstanding policy staff in Washington, D.C., cut their teeth in ACB. Paul Schroeder, who's been to several of our conventions and who oversees their policy unit, worked in the beginning at ACB, as did our current ACB Resolutions Chair and the man who handles their day-to-day policy operations, Mark Reichert. So you can see that ACB has had a tremendous effect on the American Foundation of the Blind. But not only has ACB had an important impact on the leadership of AFB at the present time, I would contend that our absence from the scene would gradually have an even more profound effect in the future. First, of course, the absence would mean that we wouldn't be on the scene to create a training ground for the future Mark Reicherts and Paul Schraders of the world. Secondly, one of AFB's key missions has always been to work closely with and provide services to the blindness field. In many ways, they are the leader in this area. Excuse me. And it is my hope that they continue and expand this role, because I think they do an outstanding job in helping the field to be the best that it can be. However, if ACB were not around to provide the American Foundation for the Blind with consumer input as to what we want and we need, it would be left to the blindness field to provide a gradually greater and greater share of the input on what it is that we really require. We know the old saying, to paraphrase a little bit, he who fails to learn from history is condemned to repeat it. What Newell Perry and his boys taught us, and Kathy Skivers never lets us forget, is that those of us who are blind or who have low vision know best about our needs. Do we want to return to the days of yore when we were told what was good for us? Absolutely. The day we forget this lesson is the beginning of the deterioration of our ability to obtain the services and opportunities we most require to lead independent, active, and productive lives. Now let me turn to another reason, perhaps one that is a little less obvious, why I believe it is so vital that ACB remain strong. And that is blind culture and identity. I loved working in the sighted world of the California legislature for more than 30 years. To me, it was great in a way not to be in the blind world completely. However, I equally liked the part of my life that revolves around the friends and acquaintances and loved ones in the blind community, the ACB and CCB family, as Donna so aptly put it today. In fact, as I am about to explain, my involvement in our community was the catalyst I needed to engender in me the self-confidence that enabled me to have whatever success I had in both the sighted world and in our community. Through fourth grade, I went to the same school in Redwood City that all the other blind students did. But after that, I was in my neighborhood schools. As with many blind children in public schools, I thrived academically and even in some extracurricular activities like band, but I felt socially excluded and woefully inferior to my sighted peers. I occasionally met with blind friends from my early days or went to activities with them, but whether it was playing piano or attending Enchanted Hills camp, my basic view was that if blind people did it, then Jeff Tom refused to do it. Things didn't change much in college until my metamorphosis began during law school, when George Callis, an incredible human being who was a low-vision insurance broker, introduced me to, at that time, the National Federation of the Blind of California at the local level. And by the way, enticed me with some wonderful scholarships that just as we've had these great scholarship winners tonight. A longtime ACB member after we became part of that organization, George helped to truly change my life by showing me and beginning to allow me to understand that there were role models out there and that really I had far more self-worth than I ever thought possible. I met folks like Al Gill, Mitch Pomerantz, a much younger Mitch Pomerantz, Ken Metz, Perry Sundquist. Wow, what a man Perry Sundquist was. Gene Lozano, another one at the local level. And I can't mention that truly incredible woman who we miss so much, Joanne Wolfe. They really gave me role models and made me realize that I had the potential to be just as good as those in the sighted world. During the last decade of my work with the Office of Legislative Counsel, I not only managed sighted attorneys, but I became a mentor to several of them, a talent I really hadn't expected to possess. I attribute a large part of my success in this area to the self-confidence I gained by becoming active in the California Council of the Blind and the American Council of the Blind. At one time, with so many blind students attending schools for the blind, these institutions helped to develop a pool of real leaders who had far more self-confidence than those of us from public schools typically had. Now, however, given the fact that most blind and low vision people throughout this country do not attend such schools, we need another institution to fill that gap. I strongly believe that ACB remains perhaps the strongest institution for the perpetuation of a positive blindness culture and self-identity. We in ACB are ambassadors to the general public by what we do every day. Even more importantly, in my view, our leadership in our own community and by virtue of the fact that we are interested in ourselves as people who are blind or who have low vision means that our contact with other blind and low vision people creates the role models that they need to perpetuate a positive image of who we are and who we can be and why we should be proud of ourselves. Yes, there are macular friends groups and foundation fighting blindness organizations and groups that go to the local lighthouse or other entity. And all of these groups serve important functions. But none of these types of organizations, from my perspective, do as much as we in ACB do to show other blind people that we truly have tremendous potential, that we can be doers and leaders, and that we are individuals who aren't bemoaning the fact that we are blind, but merely working to improve our place in society and to maximize the potential that each of us has. I don't advocate that we in the blindness community embrace the isolated culture that has taken hold in much of the deaf community. We are a different population. However, deaf culture creates a real pride among that community. In my opinion, if ACB is gone from the landscape, our positive sense of who we are, our blind pride, so to speak, will gradually but dramatically diminish as the years go on. In fact, I would note that the major problem for ACB and CCB in this area is that we impact the lives of far too few people than we need to. I have very serious doubts whether the positive image of blind and low vision persons that we have worked so hard to show and perpetuate to the public and within our own community will ever recover from the loss of the American Council of the Blind and the California Council of the Blind. So friends, when you get the ACB blues and start singing Crazy for Trying, Crazy for Crying, and Crazy for Loving You, sit back, reflect, and remember the future of who we are as people, who we are as blind people, and what we want to accomplish in this organization. Because without ACB, we will not be who we want to be, and we will not maximize the potential for ourselves and for our future. As for ACB's existence, that is dependent on each and every one of us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff. And yes, it is. Now it is. Thank you, Jeff. And thank you for mentioning someone that, and unless I missed it the other night during the acknowledgments of those who had passed, we did not acknowledge the loss of Joanne Wolfe, who was the mother of my daughter, who passed away in this past December. So we've got the opportunity. I wanted to do that. It is now time for trivial matters. We're going to do the raffle after everyone's exhausted from trivia.
They won't be able to read their raffle tickets.
So, since I don't remember how this was done last year, I get to turn this over. I was going to. I'm going to turn this fun part of the program over to Mr. Frank Welty.
Yay, Frank!
How much time? Well, it's 5 after 45 minutes.
me, please. That was horrible.
I'm doing it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Halloween Plus Trivia. I'm Frank, and my assistant is the lovely Miss Vanna, and Vanna is going to tell you about the rules for tonight's game.
Vanna Savely.
This evening, we're going to play a very special game. And to get started, we need you to do a very special thing, and that is come up with a name for your team. So, we give each table 1 minute. That's only 1 minute. That's only 60 seconds. Okay? Good. Let's say we got that straight. 60 seconds to come up with a spooky name.
She's cute.
Anna White or Scarlett O'Hara.
Spooky name.
It sounds like Scarlett O'Hara.
It's Jeff's country Vanna.
It's country Vanna.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were channeling Scarlett O'Hara.
Nah, there. I'm doing because he did a country. Do you guys get to play? You need to come up with a spooky name.
No, we don't get to play. They didn't play
Why
last
not? Week. Oh, come on. Yeah, you get to play.
You're going to let us play?
Why not? Yeah.
Okay, so what should we do?
Oh, good. Your blind All ghost. Right.
Huh?
They're saying blind ghost down there.
Well, I don't, that's... Mm-hmm.
Who did that?
A spooky name.
Is it?
A spooky name.
Okay. Okay.
What are we going to be?
The
lambs? The sheep? The lambs? The whatever? No. That's right.
The slaughtered lambs?
The lambs led the slaughter, Frank.
Lambs to the slaughter.
Okay. I love it.
Lambs to the slaughter.
Okay.
Lamb, tell him it's lambs to the slaughter.
The lamb. Lost lambs. We're a lost little
lambs. Okay. Yeah. Now I'm going to turn it over to you, right? Once I get the names. Yeah. Okay. Are we ready?
Yeah.
All right. Somebody asked me if I was Scarlett O'Hara. No, I'm Country Vanna. Crazy for being in CCP. All right, back to singing school. Okay. Here we go with the names. A head table first. What's your name? Just say it out loud.
Is Ed running around with the mic?
We need a mic runner.
Mike.
Ed, are you going to be the mic runner?
Okay.
Thank you. You don't want to know how we got to it, but our name is the Lambs.
You don't want to use the whole name? You don't want to use the whole name?
Okay. No, we're just going to go with the
okay.
Lambs.
The Lambs. I don't know. There aren't too many lambs at this table, but all right. Okay, next. Next table. Ed's coming.
Ed's coming.
I'm right here. What do you want me to do?
So you're going to table to table like you
table
did last
table.
Year?
Who's the spokesperson? Ed Crespin is the spokesperson at this table, whatever it is. Number two table, who's the spokesperson here?
I'll do it.
Okay, Robert Wendt is the... Oh.
What's your name?
What do you call yourself?
The pumpkins.
Pumpkins.
Vision!
Spooktaculars.
What's this table's name and spokesperson?
Wait, which table was that?
Well, in concert with the Halloween theme, make no bones about it, we're the skeleton crew.
Hello, we are the Blind Zombies.
Okay, what was the one before?
Okay, at this table, who's the spokesperson?
Oh, I'm sorry.
We are the Strutting Ghouls.
Okay.
The Strutting Ghouls.
Hold on, Ed.
Ed?
Slow down, Ed.
We've got a scorekeeper who's having trouble getting the numbers with the tables, so we're... Vita... Okay. Help.
We have the lambs.
Yay.
Okay.
That's one.
The pumpkins.
That's two.
Okay. The spooktaculars.
That's three.
And the skeleton crew.
Four. Skeleton crew was first.
Okay.
I thought.
Blind zombies.
Then blind zombies.
Move right along.
Now we're up to the next table.
The strutting ghouls.
The what?
Strutting
ghouls?
That's table six.
Of course.
This is table seven, and they are?
The Fright Squad.
What's
that? And I guess table eight, who's the spokesperson here? Where
is that it?
Hello, this is Gloria, and we are the Bats.
What, bats?
And the next table, who's the spokesperson?
And how is your bell for today?
Okay. Our question is, who you going to call? The Ghostbusters.
Oh.
Who's the spokesperson over here?
Okay, we're the Bootiful Winners.
The what?
Bootiful Winners.
Bootiful?
This table has four people, and they choose not to participate.
Oh, all right.
Oh, they're going to join. That's fine. No, it's fine.
He's on the internet.
Good.
Move along.
Okay, go ahead, Frank. Here it is.
That's all the tables.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Frank.
All right, everybody. Very simple. You may remember from last year, we'll start at table one, and we'll circulate through the tables. Very simply this. We'll ask the question. The table will get to answer. If they don't get it, it goes to the next table. Until we get the table, it gets the answer. And then we'll move on to the next question. We'll see how many questions we can get through. All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Table one. What is the largest living fish in the ocean? This is multiple choice. Whale shark, barracuda, great white shark, tuna, or Jaws 14.0. Again with the real answers, whale shark, barracuda, great white shark, or tuna. Do you have an answer?
They didn't show that on Animal Planet, but we think it's the whale shark.
You are right. All right. Nice start. That's right. I hope we don't smash our pumpkins here. All right, pumpkins. What liquid measure is equal to 1.76 pints? Bushel, quart, liter, gallon, or what $20 will buy you at Starbucks? Again, that was bushel, quart, liter, or gallon?
Liter.
Liter, yes. Table number 3. If you have a fear of Halloween, you are suffering from animophobia, palatophobia, samhainophobia, or phronemophobia. And don't ask me to repeat those. I guess I'd better. Animophobia. So, animophobia, palatophobia, samhainophobia, or phronemophobia. Or A, B, C, or D, if you choose. What's your guess, table number 3?
B.
B. Let's see. B, palatophobia is fear of bald people. Table number 4. Is that your guess?
No, I want to know what it is. C, and what is, just repeat the pronunciation again of C.
Samhainophobia.
We'll go with that one.
You're right.
Yay!
These other ones were, animophobia is fear of air, and phronemophobia is fear of thinking.
That's going around.
All right, I think we're up to table number 5. Is that right, Vanna?
Blind zombies.
Which chemical element has the symbol S? Sodium, selenium, silicon, sulfur, or Skippy peanut butter. Again, sodium, selenium, silicon, or sulfur. And that sounds like a Tom Lehrer song, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. The element song.
Sodium, selenium, that's S-E-L-E-N-I-U-M, selenium, silicon, or sulfur?
I think we're going to take B, selenium.
Nope. Next table. Sodium, silicon, or sulfur? Is that the...
Could you repeat the questions, please?
Which chemical element has the symbol S? Sodium, silicon, or sulfur?
Silicon.
Nope.
Nope.
That's S-I. Selenium, by the way, was S-E. All right. Which table are we up to now? The Fright Squad.
Sulfur.
Sodium. Oh, pardon? Say it again.
Sulfur.
No, the answer is sulfur. All right. Next question. And which table are we up to, Vanna? The bats. The ancient Celts used which vegetable to carve their jack-o'-lanterns? Potato, turnip, squash, pumpkin, or Lindsay Lohan?
The native Celts used which vegetable?
One more time, please, the choices.
Potato, turnip, squash, or pumpkin?
How about turnips?
The ancient Celts used which vegetable to carve their jack-o'-lantern? Potato, turnip, squash, or pumpkin?
I think turnips.
Got an answer?
We're going to say turnips.
Pardon?
Turnips.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Ghostbusters.
Here we are.
In which African country is Timbuktu? Chad, Mali, Nigeria, Algeria, or, I don't know, but I swear my last paratransit ride included a drop-off there.
I happen to know the answer to this one.
Good.
The answer is Mali.
Yes. Next. The Bootiful Winners. The Bootiful Winners. Which country celebrates the Day of the Dead starting at midnight on October 31st? Mexico, Ireland, Germany, China, or San Francisco's Haight-Ashbury District? Again, that's Mexico, Ireland, Germany, or China.
Bootiful Winner says Mexico.
Mexico, yes! We got some hot competition this year. All right, back to the lambs. Which of the following is not a bird name? Shag, Curfew, Goatsucker, Drongo, or no, Mark Friedrich or Charlie Parker are not valid answers. So again, so which of these is not a bird name? Shag, Curfew, Goatsucker, or Drongo?
Shag.
No, it's Shag, S-H-A-G.
Oh, Shag.
Repeat them one more time.
Shag, please. Curfew, Goatsucker, Drongo.
I don't have a clue. You guys decide. Try that one?
We'll try Curfew.
That's right.
Yay!
There is a bird called a curlew, but curfew is when you get home late.
Yeah.
All right, pumpkins. By the way, Pumpkin was the nickname of my wife's previous dog. Which of the following is... Oh, wait, that's the wrong question. Hold on. Halloween originated as a pagan festival known as what? Beltane? Samhain? Imbolc? That sounds like Klingon. Imbolc?
Didn't he used to play center for something?
Luhana. Uh-huh. Luknast? Or Texas High School Football?
Well, there are rituals in it.
We're going to say Sanhai?
Yes! You guys remembered that other question, didn't you? Very good. Spooktaculars. How many bones in total are in our two ears? 4, 6, 8, 10, or 1 in the case of the average birther? Again, that was 4, 6, 8, or 10.
Can you repeat the question?
How many bones are in total are in our two ears? 4, 6, 8, or 10? Your guess? Your guess 10. Nope. Next. Skeleton crew, 4, 6, or 8? Your guess is 8?
Going to run with 6.
6? Yes, 6.
All right, who's next? Blind zombies. According to superstition, a person born on Halloween has what particular ability? They can tell the future. They can see and talk to spirits. They can predict death. They will be unlucky. Or the ability to understand and explain the Affordable Health Care Act.
We're going to go with the ability to see and talk to spirits.
Yes.
Yay!
Who's next? Who's next? The strutting ghouls. The French Revolution began in the same year as which of these events? The opening of the Suez Canal, Napoleon made emperor, the mutiny on the Bounty, the bicycle invented in Scotland, or the last time a Parisian was nice to a tourist. Again, the French Revolution began in the year the same year as the opening of the Suez Canal, Napoleon made emperor, the mutiny on the Bounty, or the bicycle invented in Scotland.
Mutiny on the Bounty.
Yes. Fright Squad. What were the first wrapped penny candies in America? Mary Jane's? Bazooka Gum? Jawbreakers? Tootsie Rolls? Or, Grandma, did they really buy stuff for a penny? Again, that's Mary Jane, Bazooka Gum, Jawbreakers, or Tootsie Rolls.
One of them sounds like it should have been wrapped in zigzags, but we're going with Tootsie Rolls.
Yes, Tootsie Rolls. Who's next? Here come the bats. What animal hunts penguins by rocking chunks of ice back and forth to knock the penguins into the water?
Oh.
That's right. What animal hunts penguins by rocking the ice floes back and forth to knock the birds into the water?
Wow.
Killer whale, blue whale, manatee, leopard seal, or rowdy San Francisco Sharks hockey fans.
Well, we have an expert at our table, and he says leopard seals.
Yes.
Really?
That's right. The other ones, like the killer whales and the blue whales, they're basically, they eat things like krill, you know, and the manatee are vegetarians, but the leopard seals are like leopards. They actually hunt. Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
What is the brand of the top chocolate bar given to trick-or-treaters? Snickers, Hershey, Three Musketeers, Nestle, or Charlie Brown's Rock? You have an answer? Do you want to hear them again?
No, I remember them. I can still remember. Snickers. I'm going to go with
yes,
Snickers.
Whoa, you people are hot tonight.
Wow.
Where are the beautiful winners? Which flower's name comes from the Old English day's eye because it opens in the morning? Dahlia, dandelion, morning glory, daisy, or Starbucks?
What was the question again?
Which flower's name comes from the old English?
Day's Eye. Okay.
Morning Glory.
You say Morning Glory?
Yes.
Not so glorious. Back to the lambs. Okay. Which flower's name comes from the Old English Day's Eye? Because it opens in the morning. Dahlia, dandelion, or daisy?
Dahlia.
Dahlia? No. Are we ready with the pumpkins?
Yes. Could you repeat the question, please?
Yes. Which flower's name comes from the Old English Day's Eye because it opens in the morning? Dandelion or daisy?
We're going to go with Daisy Dukes.
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, do. It's true!
I didn't know. I had a surmise.
Spooktaculars!
I thought that might be the case.
In which country is Transylvania? Romania, Poland, Libya, Germany, or... Texas. Hey, they named towns after everything else down there. Why not Transylvania?
Transylvania.
Again, that's Romania, Poland, okay. Libya, or Germany.
It was Romania.
Yes. Transylvania in Romania. Skeleton crew, how many legs does a scorpion have? 6, 8, 10, 12, or it depends on what he just ate. 6, 8, 10, or 12.
Eight.
You say eight? You say wrong. Blind zombies, 6, 10, or 12?
We're going to go with 6.
Yes, it's 6.
Yay!
Uh-oh, hold on. Whoa. I read wrong.
Uh-oh.
Back up one. It was 8. I stand corrected.
Whoa. You're going to get a fresh
one.
Okay.
I actually am. You know... I don't know about the rest of your score, but I'm minus one. Okay, now we're back to the... Who's that?
Went back to the... It's a read-only error.
We went back to Rob's team. We're back to the zombies, I think, right? Okay. The Chinese gooseberry is also known as what? Passion fruit? Kiwi fruit? Guava? Loganberry or Chuckberry? Again, that's the Chinese gooseberry, otherwise known as passion fruit, kiwi fruit, guava, or Loganberry.
Okay, we're going to go with Loganberry.
You're going to have to go back and get something else.
Oh!
All right, who's next?
Passion fruit.
Strutting ghouls.
Passion fruit.
Nope. Oh, no passion there.
Who's
next? The bats. Can you fly this one home? Kiwi fruit or guava?
Okay, we're going to... Ours.
Not the bats. Who's that? Before the bats. Before the bats. Ghostbusters.
Fright Squad.
Oh, no. Oh, Blind Squad. What's that?
The Fright Squad.
Fright Our Squad. Timer. Sorry about that, guys.
Sorry,
we goofed. Okay, so it's kiwi fruit or guava?
Kiwi fruit.
Yes, kiwi.
That was Frank's bonus. Okay, now for the bats.
I know. Yeah.
Bats, you ready for this?
Yes, we are.
In which city is Wenceslas Square found? Budapest, Minsk, Prague, Bucharest, or I don't know, but I swear my last paratransit driver was just immigrated from there. No, that was a different one. In which city is Wenceslas Square? Budapest, Minsk, Prague, or Bucharest?
I'm pretty sure I know this. It's Prague.
Prague it is. You guys are shot. Ghostbusters now?
Thank you.
Who are you going to call now? Ghostbusters.
All right.
Which creature is composed of 95% water and has no heart, no brain, no blood? Jellyfish? Wait, jellyfish? Cockroach? Axolotl? Slug? Or John Boehner?
Ah, all right. Yay.
Jellyfish, cockroach, which is kind of like, no, that won't go there. Jellyfish, cockroach, axolotl, or slug?
Jellyfish.
Jellyfish? Yes! Time for the beautiful winners. Which animal's name means earth pig? Hippopotamus, aardvark, tapir, warthog, or ExxonMobil? Again, earth pig, hippopotamus,
aardvark.
You say aardvark? You are right. Back to the lambs.
And this has to be the last thing.
It's going
to
be the last round. That's good. I just have a couple left.
Good, last round.
Which word comes from the Italian, and Vita, you cannot help on this one. Little ball.
What was that, Frank?
Which word comes from the Italian for little ball? Ballot, balloon, billet, bullet, or meatball? Ballot, balloon, billet, or bullet? Okay, again, that was Italian for little ball. Ballot, balloon, billet, or bullet?
We'll say balloon.
Pop.
Oh, well.
Okay. Okay, pumpkins. Ballot, billet, or bullet?
We're going to say billet.
Billet? You're not going to win with that one.
Billet. As in the troops were billet.
Okay, now it's, which one is it? Spooktaculars, ballot or bullet? That sounds like a political slogan.
Yeah, sure.
Ballots or bullets? Ballot or bullet?
That's the new
bullet.
Tea party slogan.
You say bullet? No, it's ballot. Ballot, as because remember that when they first, they would vote using white and little white and black balls that they would put in a box depending on whether you're doing yes or no. So nobody got that one. All right, skeleton crew.
Okay.
What country started construction of the Panama Canal? France, England, United States, Panama, or Iran, but only for peaceful and research purposes? Again,
man.
That was
nuclear.
France, England, United States, or Panama?
France.
Yes, France.
Yay, Kevin!
Okay, who's next? Blind zombies. In poker,
What is known as a dead man's hand? A flush, a pair of aces and eights, a pair of twos and threes, four aces, or five aces? Yeah, you'd be dead if you had
five aces.
We're going
to go with four aces.
Four aces? Nope.
Oh. Could you repeat that? What are the answers?
Okay, Fright Squad. Oh, no, Strutting Ghouls.
Whatever.
Again, this is the poker hand known as a dead man's hand. A flush, a pair of aces and eights, or a pair of twos and threes?
Aces and eights?
Correct. And it got that name because it was the hand that Wild Bill Hickok was holding when he was shot. Fright Squad. What former Major League player's autobiography is called A Catcher in the Rye, spelled W-R-Y? Tim McCarver, Johnny Bench, Bob Uecker, Yogi Berra, or Lou Costello? Again, that was Tim McCarver, Johnny Bench, Bob Uecker, or Yogi Berra? What
all right, you? Bob Uecker.
Bob Uecker it is. And I'm down to my last few. The bats.
Bats.
Yes.
Dabblers and divers are the two main types of what? Drum kits, building bricks, ducks, windmills, or postmodern artists?
One more time, please.
Dabblers and divers are the two main types of what? Drum kits, building bricks, ducks, or windmills?
We're going to go with ducks.
Quack, quack, quack. Yes, it is. Ghostbusters.
All right.
How many moons does Neptune have? 4, 6, 8, 12, or I don't know, but I swear my last paratransit ride visited every one of them before dropping me off.
Oh, my God. I didn't
Again,
get to listen to
four,
Science
six,
Friday this week. Oh, well, let's see.
4, 6, 8, or 12?
I know it's not 12. So I'm eliminating that.
4, 6, 8, or 12?
I'm going to go with 6.
Not 6. Beautiful winners. Is it? And this is okay. Is it? 4, 8, or 12?
12.
12? No. Is that the last one?
Well, we have to keep going around until we get this problem.
Yeah, okay, so we're back to the lambs. So it's, I think it's 8 or 12.
No.
Oh, we use this for a typewriter?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay, we're gonna check because... So, Vanna, where do we stand right now? I'm going to give you the microphone, Vanna.
Okay. This is a tiebreaker for the Fright Squad and the Bats, where both have 4 points.
Don't we get the movie prize with 2?
Okay, we have 2 here, Frank. Yeah. Frank. What? Who has 4?
You want to check that?
You know, you thought we were wrong.
see if she nominates you again.
There was one well, our was official scorer, and if you look at the contract you signed before you signed up for the game, the official scorer's tally is final. They have you at 3. I'm sorry. Okay. Do you really think it's 4? Tell you what. Van is a nice person. You have 4, so you're in the tiebreaker.
Please tell me which table is going first.
All right. Are you ready?
Tell me which table is going first.
Okay. Tell me this first. Skeleton crew. Golf. Ready? Golf was banned in... Yeah. Oh, you want the answer to the last question?
Oh, no, no.
No. Okay. Hold it. Okay, the question. Hold on. Hold on now.
They're using base 3.
To break the time.
They're consulting
okay.
with King Neptune.
Oh, yes.
You guys.
All right. Golf was banned in Scotland in 1457 because it distracted men from what? Sword fighting, playing the bagpipes, jousting, archery practice, or ironing their kilts.
That's a hard one.
All right, again, that was... sword fighting, playing the bagpipes, jousting, or archery practice?
Oh, boy.
I'll go with archery.
You're going with archery? I'm going to do something a little different here. I'm going to give this question to everybody. Okay, who's the next one?
So who's the next table then? The
Fright Squad.
Okay, Fright Squad.
The choices are, again... sword fighting, playing the bagpipes, jousting, or archery practice? You can say whatever you want. Jousting, okay. And
apparently we're saying jousting.
Jousting. And the bats, again, was it? Again, was it sword fighting, playing the bagpipes, jousting, or archery practice?
Ah, well, we're going with playing the bagpipes.
Okay, who's the first one?
No, that sounds bogus.
Skeleton crew, congratulations. It was archery. It was archery practice.
Archery. All right. This is coming to a close. However, we have a raffle drawing to deal with.
What's the prize?
What was the prize for the trivia?
I'm looking for a hotel person who may not be in here again.
We'll have to come back to that.
Here.
So how many folks do we have at your table?
Skeleton.
There are 8 of you. I'm not sure where the hotel staff are. But your prize is each of you gets to take home with you, if you promise not to open it here in this room, a bottle of wine.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yes. And I told them that you would definitely not open it in this room. And so, but there is no hotel staff here in this room, correct, Ed? They're all gone.
They're drinking the wine.
They're drinking the wine. And I don't know if there is a house phone in here or not, so that we could call them to get you your wine. There's not? No, actually, I didn't bring it. Okay. Okay, great. All right. So, we're going to have Ed Crespin.
All right.
He's going to do the mic. So, Ed, let's give it over to you.
Okay, this is the Active Blind in Lynn Valleys. We had $208, so the lucky winner is going to get $104 tonight.
I'm ready.
And the last three numbers are going to be 340. 340. Check your number, 340. Somebody has to be here because they didn't put a name on it.
Debbie?
Who's that? Debbie, okay.
We need to take her to Vegas. Debbie Cordero.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Do we have other raffles? Do we have other raffles? Was anyone else doing any other raffles?
Nope, apparently not.
Hearing none. Speaking let me one. Give it over to Mike.
There we go.
Announce resolutions.
Where, Coronado?
No.
Vintage. Oh, vintage. I did that last
time.
All right, just a quick reminder.
But the table that won the wine, don't leave until you get your wine.
Maybe, well, I was going to say, or Ed, can he jot the names down?
Ed's gone.
No, all right.
When did you get the hotel person?
All right, then they're bringing it. Good. So skeleton crew, you'll be the last ones here, which is fitting of a skeleton crew. Hospitality is again in Coronado.
No.
It is not again.
Vintage.
Vintage.
No, that's resolutions. Yeah. Okay.
Resolutions is in that's all right. You got me confused.
Yeah. Because I'm confused.
Resolutions is in Vintage.
Right, that's
hospitality is in Coronado. And I will just conclude with this. Lest we all get too confident in our own independence, I have made two trips down to Starkville, Mississippi, serving on a task force, their National Rehab Training Center. There is a gentleman who has been to both of those meetings who shall be nameless, but he belongs to the organization that begins with the letter N. In the lobby of this nice little hotel in downtown Starkville, Mississippi, home of the Mississippi State Bulldogs, is a metal replica of a bulldog sitting on top of a table in the lobby of the hotel. At least it was there on our first visit. When this very independent gentleman with a very, very long cane indicated he needed no assistance and did his best imitation of a New York City race walker and took out the table and the bulldog.
I just wanted to know if his name was Mark or Jim.
Neither. When we returned to Mississippi State this past April, table and bulldog were nowhere to be seen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed the banquet. Have a good evening, and we'll see you mañana.